This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Last time we were talking about one of the rights of the Muslims upon each other, which is when the person is sick, that you visit that sick person. And we said that visiting the sick person, let me see, do men allowed to go visit a female who's sick? Huh? Yes, because in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his time, what happened? In Nabi sallallahu went and he visited Ummi Hani, and she's not even يعني mahram to him or anything. And we know even this practice, some scholar like Ahmed visited Rabi'a when he heard that she is sick. But what about the opposite? Can a woman go visit a man who is sick? He said, Aisha went and visited Bilal radiallahu anhu, and she visited also her father, Abu Bakr, who was sick as well. So as long as there is no khalwa and the proper etiquette followed, it is permissible. Also, we said it is a sunnah, as the ulama rahimahumullah agreed upon that. Also, we might not mention the story of Abi Fakhita. قال أخذ علي بيدي قال انطلق بنا إلى الحسن نعوده فوجدنا عنده أبا موسى. See, he going to visit his son Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then anyway, these met Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu wa arda. And we know that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is very close to Ali radiallahu anhu and very close to Ali Bayt al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali's family. That's why when the war took place between Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah, the civil war, everybody pointed someone to represent the group. So Ali ibn Abi Talib chose who? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to represent him in this. And that's why Abu Musa al-Ash'ari until today, unfortunately, is so hated by the Shia. They are very bad things. He said that he betrayed Ali radiallahu anhu. And the reality, he didn't. Actually, he was able to stop that bloody war between the Muslim at that time, radiallahu anhu wa arda. Anyway, so when they saw Abu Musa al-Ash'ari there, Abu Musa said, when they came, he said, قَالَ زَائِرًا أَمْ عَائِدًا, to visit or to do عِيَادَةَ الْمَرِيدِ, to visit, just a general visit, or this is a visitation for the sick person. Then Ali radiallahu then Abu Musa said, no, I came here for to a'udu. I came here to visit the sick person. Then Ali radiallahu said, if this is the case, I heard the Prophet said, ma min muslimin ya'udu musliman ghudwatan. Any Muslim go visit another Muslim in the early day or in the daytime. Illa salla alayhi sab'una alfa malakin hatta yumsi. 70,000 angels will pray for such person until night. وَإِنْ عَادَهُ عَشِيَّةً, and if you visit him in the night, 70,000 angels pray for you until the morning. وَكَانَ لَهُ خَرِيفٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and he has خَرِيفٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. What does خَرِيفٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ means? Before you try to answer, خَرِيف, there is another hadith, this hadith reported by Ahmed. There is another hadith more authentic than this in Muslim, min hadithi Thawban radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمَ إِذَا عَادَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمُ, when the Muslim visits his Muslim brother, لَمْ يَزَلْ فِي خُرْفَةِ الْجَنَّةِ, he will continue to be in خُرْفَةِ الْجَنَّةِ. خُرْفَة, خَرِيف, is the same thing. What the Prophet meant by that? Al-Khurfa, it means when you start collecting all the fruits. So when you enter and all the fruits already knowledge, اللي هو ايش, ribbon? Ripe. So ripe, all the fruits are ripe and ready to be picked or to fall. You don't need to worry about it. You just, the moment you touch it, it comes out in your hand. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you go visit the person, this is how you are collecting the reward. Okay? Tab question. Kharif is one of the seasons in the year. Which season? the fall. Why Arab call the fall or the autumn, they call it Kharif?
Come on, you can figure that out. It's easy.
Because the trees leaves as if it is ripe and falling off. Like the fruit, when it's ripe, fall off the tree. So that's why they call that Kharif. The same root of the word. Anyway, Jabir radiallahu anhu said, and this is very beautiful, and reported by Bukhari fil Adab al-Mufrad. And I really want to say this to Dr. Musa and all the doctors, Abdullah and all those who want to be doctors. I really understand why so many scholars said, if we did not seek knowledge, we would like to be doctors. Because of the amount of reward that those the doctors can get, and nurses, and anyone who help and sick people. You know, I know also today's the Musa family, they are honoring us. You know, like I know, for example, Sister Ashma Zala Khair, and he knows other sisters as well. Part of their routine, weekly activity is to go to the hospital and to visit people and to help people and to volunteers. Just all this ahadith apply to you. Every single day, every time you go. And sometimes we don't think how much rewards we are collecting. And the beautiful thing about Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he said to him, are you visiting or are you coming for iyada? Iyada, which is visiting with the intention that you visit the sick person. This hadith shows the importance of thinking about it from a religious perspective. It's not just a job that I do or a volunteer that I do. That I do it and I enjoy doing it because I know this is something that pleases Allah. Today I was telling Yusuf something about career. What did I tell you today? Find a work that you like and you don't need to go. Or find a job that you like, you didn't need to go to work for the rest of your life. You know, that's it. If you do what you like, what you love, you don't need to work for the rest of your life. So here we're saying that this is a good reminder for us to have that intention check, even if it is part of your daily activity. Listen to what Jabir radiallahu anhu said. قال من عاد مريضا خاض في رحمة الله حتى إذا قعد عنده استقر فيها. While you are going to visit someone who's sick, you are walking in the mercy of Allah. And the moment you reach that person and you are there, you are in the middle of the mercy of Allah. And here the mercy of Allah could mean, usually الصفات الفعلية, the descriptions of Allah, which is referred to actions, أحياناً تطلق ويراد بها المفعول. It used and to refer to what this attribute means or translated in reality. So Allah's mercy, He has mercy. But the outcome of mercy is what? Jannah, rewarding, blessings, money. Rain is basically the mercy of Allah. So sometimes these, like we say mercy and we refer to the outcome of the mercy. So that person's in the mercy of Allah, يعني Allah loves it. Allah rewards him. Allah gives him. Allah bless him. Allah or her. And basically that leads to the central of paradise. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also said, and this hadith reported by Ahmad and al-Bukhari fil Adab al-Mufrad, when you visit your Muslim brother, and by the way, we said before, the Muslim brother, it doesn't restrict it to Muslim. It can apply with any intention that you have, because helping, but no doubt the reward is multiplying more when you visit someone who is near to you. Like we say, if you visit someone who is from your family, the reward higher from someone who's not from your family. And from your community, higher than the somebody out of your community, but still get the same ajr and all recommended. Allah will send an angel, and this angel will say to the visitor, طِبْتَ وَطَابَ مَمْشَكَ. May Allah bless you and bless your steps. وَتَبَوَّأْتَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلًا. And may Allah reward you a high place, an honor place in Jannah. And this hadith also came in relation to قَالَ أَوْزَارَ أَخًا فِي اللَّهِ. Or he visited someone for the sake of Allah. Marwan ibn Abi Dawood said, I came to Anas ibn Malik, the Prophet's companion, and I said, Ya Abu Hamza, who's Abu Hamza? Anas, his kunya is Abu Hamza. Inna al-makana ba'id, wa inna nahnu yu'jibuna an na'uduk. You live very far away, and would love to come to you, but you're really far. So Anas raised his head and he said, أيما رجل قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I heard the Prophet saying, أيما رجل يعود مريضا فإنما يخوض في الرحمة فإذا قعد عند المريض غمرته الرحمة. فقلت يا رسول الله هذا للصحيح الذي يعود المريض فالمريض ما له؟ قال تحط عنه ذنوبه. Anas said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, anytime you travel to or you go to visit your friend who's sick, you are walking in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surrounded by the mercy of Allah. And when you reach there, the mercy will cover you and will shower you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, Ya Rasulullah, this is for the one who visits the sick. So what about the sick person himself? He said that his sins are forgiven by the calamity of the sickness. And we all familiar with hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Muslim, when he said, who is fasting today? Abu Bakr said, me. Who followed the janazah? He said, me. Who have fed someone today? He said, me. Who have visited a sick person? He said, me. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these four things, if they are done in one day, by one person, done in one day, this person deserved nothing but paradise. قَالَ إِلَّا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. One of the benefits of visiting the sick ones, beside all these rewards, it's a great reminder for all of us of the bounty of health. We have a say in Arabic, I don't know if we have this in English as well. يقولون الصحة إيش؟ تاج على رؤوس الأصحاء لا يراه إلا لا يراه إلا المرضى. Health is like a crown on the top of your head. Only sick people see this crown. You as healthy person, you don't feel it. Omar, you remember when you were sick and it was very difficult for you to run and to do all those things? You remember how would you look to other people who are so healthy and you really appreciate that Allah give you health. That's right, you're able to walk, you're able to. So you shouldn't waste this health on only video games. Okay? So you use that. It's not that you do that, but I'm just saying it. So here we say that you should, okay? You basically, when you visit the sick first people, wallahi, you understand the value of the mercy of Allah. I remember, without mentioning a name, somebody in this group, I would never forget when I visited him when he was in the hospital. I really still, this is a moment, and he means a lot to me. He had something so tiny, it's like a little stone, stuck somewhere in his body. Okay? It is the kidney stone. It ruined that person's life. What fed with the tube goes all the way to his stomach and can't eat, can't breathe. So it's so painful. Just little things like this. Wallahi, yani, subhanAllah, the person should be very grateful to Allah. This is ni'matani maqbunum fihima kathirun minna. Many people don't understand the value of these two blessings. Time and health. The Prophet ﷺ said, these two blessings, many people don't appreciate it and don't value. Time and what? And health. So that's one of the benefits, why there is so much reward in going to visit the person, the sick person. So in my opinion, Sharia put all this reward because the Sharia want that goal. Want you to go because you want to ajr. But there is another thing will happen to you, which is you still think about the health that you have. So you take advantage of it. You appreciate it. You protect yourself. So you care about your own health. For a very long time, I always want to lose weight. and, you know, struggle with it. And I'm not going to talk about Dr. Musa's advice. I told Dr. Musa, Dr. Khalas, I'm tired of trying to lose weight. Give me what's the ideal, like, help me. He said, oh, you're very close. Just you need to add 3 feet and 10 inches to your height, and you'll have the ideal weight. Instead of losing this way, just add it that way. So it just doesn't work. Anyway, but another friend of us here, a doctor, told me something that really touched my heart. He said, Waleed, life and death is in the hand of Allah. When you die, what age, this is in the hand of Allah. What you really need to think, and this is really very powerful, very, very powerful. He said, what you need to think about is not when you're going to die. It's the quality of life that you will have when death comes to you. Let's say you die in the age of 60, 70, 80, whatever the age is. But what about this last 10 years, last 5 years? How you want to spend it? Yeah, exactly. How would you like to spend it? There is a very powerful video, if you Google it, about two old men. One, he's old. I think it's Ashma wants to share that video with us. I don't remember now. She basically, and I will make sure to put it in the, maybe in the Facebook. A person basically tied his tie to go with his family, or someone tied the oxygen tube around his nose. What would you want? You know, somebody putting the hospital shoes in your feet, or you go tied your sneaker? It's your choice. When you die is not your choice. But in what state you die, that's your choice. And that's basically something really hit me so hard. Then I remember what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما حيتنا واجعله الوارث منا. يا سلام. He said, let us keep our strength until we die. And obviously, it's not about wishes. It's about you do what it takes to keep your strength. Also, one of the benefits of this hadith and in regard to the visiting the sick, that it is so important to care. And before I go to the next point, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to a man who came to her, and he said, Ya Umm al-Mu'mineen, O mother of the believer, بي داء فهل عندك دواء. يا سلام. I am sick and I'm seeking medicine. I'm seeking the medicine for my sickness. She said, what is your sickness? ما داءك؟ قال القسوة، قسوة القلب. My heart is so solid. It's not soft. It's not a good reminder. When I hear a good reminder, I don't feel like my heart is soft. I don't feel like I'm excited. When somebody said, go to pray, I'm not like, my heart doesn't say, yes, let's go pray. It's like very hard to respond to the call of Allah. قَالَتْ بِئْسَ الدَّاءُ دَاءُكَ. That's the worst kind of sickness. That your heart doesn't move. Your heart doesn't, يحن إلى شيء يعني يرغب في الشيء. Want, there's a beautiful word, very powerful word here. It's just not coming. I'm worried to pronounce it wrong. Anyway, so she said that if you feel that your heart is not leaning towards and basically moved by the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, that's the worst sickness. What's the solution? She said, listen, عُدِ الْمَرْضَى وَاشْهَدِ الْجَنَائِزِ وَتَوَقَّعِ الْمَوْتِ. Visit the sick, witness the janaza, and think about death. And you'll see how your heart change. One of the benefits, that this is one of the rights of your Muslim brother. That's why it is so important to visit those who are sick and related to you. And you have a cousin, you have neighbors, you should care for that more than anyone else. And I love the fact that sometimes you see people go during holidays and Eid go visit the sick ones and make them feel happy and special. يقول الأعمش كنا نقعد في المجلس فإذا فقدنا الرجل ثلاثة أيام سألنا عنه فإن كان مريضا عدنا. When we miss someone 3 days in the masjid or in the class, we ask, is he sick? And if he is, we go visit him. Also, if non-Muslims is sick, you should also care to visit him. And we said, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم heard about the young man, a Jew, young Jew, who used to come to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the Nabi said, where is he? I don't see him anymore. They said, Ya Rasulullah, he's sick. Then he went and he visited him. And subhanAllah, that young man was dying. And the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم saved him by that visit when he told him, say la ilaha illallah. He looked at his father. Then his father said, أطيع أبا القاسم فإنه لا يأمر إلا بخير. يا سلام. He said, obey Abu al-Qasim, yani Muhammad. He only tell people to do what is best for them. I always say, you think that Jew person said that, he would say that if he never interacted with the Prophet ﷺ. If he never saw how the Prophet ﷺ in public, how nice, how generous, how good he is. This is the result of interacting with each other, the Muslim and the non-Muslim in the society. Anyway, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in tears and he said, Alhamdulillah that Allah saved him from hellfire by me. When we visit someone, remember the following etiquette. Number one, be sincere, because it's an act of worship. Number two, choose the right time. So one of the things that's ironic, al-ulama said, you should not rush to visit the person the moment you hear he's sick. Because the beginning of sickness, he might in terrible pain, and can't even like host anyone or in a mood to have anyone, you know, or somebody just came out of that. Like, it's amazing how we in the community sometimes, somebody just came from the operation room, or as the British people say, since I'm going to England soon, when he comes out of the theater. Yeah, I was talking to one of the sheikh, and his father is sheikh. He said, I'm sorry, my father was in the theater. I said, okay. But he's watching, like he said, no, in the theater, man. And it took me like good 3-4 minutes until I found out that, you know, it's an operation room in England, the theater. You guys know why? I don't know, but this is my guess. Because in the old days, some of the things that I saw in documentary about medicine, that they used actually to do an operation on people in front of the students at the stage. So it's like a theater, actually. So when he said that, that's my guess, and I'm not expert in the language. Anybody knows? Is my guess correct? Okay, good. I just made up this right now. That's just my logic. Okay. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يعود مريضا إلا بعد ثلاث. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم will wait 3 days, then he will visit the sick person. Because maybe he's not sick, maybe something else going on in his life, and so forth. It doesn't need to be 3 days, but my point is somebody came out of the operation room, and he's still in the intensive care, and you have all the community at the door. خلاص ما يصير. It's not right. You know, you can send a message, you can talk to his family, but when you visit the person, give him time to recover. Also, one of the etiquettes, please don't talk too much. There is people talking and arguing, you know, in the front of the sick person. Also, please don't involve yourself in the personal matter of the guy. Like you tell him, what was it? I mean, what if it is something embarrassing? What if it's something he can share? I saw one guy sometimes, he had an operation in the lower part of his body. And one person, and he said, can I see it? Wallahi, I was like, oh my God. Yeah, some people are so nosy. Oh, nothing even in the lower or upper. Why would you see it? You know? And it's just, that's not appropriate. Also, talking too much. Sometimes I feel so bad for these sick people because you have to tell the story again and again and again and again. Everybody comes in, what happened? Oh, Thursday, I ate in the restaurant. Why did you eat too much? It was, that's what happened. So what, after you ate, I got to boil, and all of a sudden, he repeated the whole story every time to every visitor. No need for that. Okay, also don't go into the too much details. If you look, subhanAllah, given Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he visited a sick person, okay, he visited Sa'd. He was sick, he was bleeding. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, كيف أمسيت؟ كيف أصبحت؟ لا يزيد على ذلك. He would not add more than, how are you doing? That's it. He would never go, any very light question. And that's an etiquette from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Also, don't enter yourself in his personal matter. I saw people look at the record of the doctors. The doctors basically, or some of the things, or the nurse comes, what happening? Alhamdulillah, many of the nurses are trained to say, sorry, I can't share the information. But there is people insist and to ask about personal things related to the person. Also, one of the things about talking too much, I would like to say this is important and very real. If you visit sick person, please don't act like his doctor. You know what? Even doctors, I saw doctors, visiting sick people, they would refrain from giving any suggestion because there is someone specialist or someone handling the case. And doctors like shuyukh, everybody has a madhab, everybody has a fatwa, everybody has a different approach. So if someone making an approach, you can just come jump in. And I'm talking about someone who's professional. So what about people like myself who has no idea about medicine? And I can give you, you know what? If you take some red onion and you boil it, then you take that water and you add a little bit of 2 spoons of honey and you drink it, it will be perfect, inshallah ta'ala. What? You know, and just people start telling you that. Like, people make stories, and what's the problem with this? Not that it might physically harm him. It can also give false hope. Oh, I know someone was a brain dead, and he came back normal. And someone, you know, had a spine, like, injury completely. But you know what? Now, mashallah, he's playing basketball. Where you got that from? I was told, I heard people saying. So what happened, you give false hope to the family and make them do completely different plan based on, I heard. You can't do that. That's very damaging to the family. And I know this has hurt people I know personally. So be very careful when you go visit people that you don't give all these stories that you heard, and especially if it's not based on fact. Also, the ulama said it's not appropriate when you go to visit someone to laugh and to joke and to fight and, you know, and to argue with others and so forth. Even in there is one of the salaf, subhanAllah, he had a very bad son-in-law. Alhamdulillah, I have a good one. So this son-in-law was driving him crazy. So he was sick. So he told his son-in-law, هذا الأعمش رحمه الله. He told his son-in-law, go get me a doctor. It's been said, يعني الأعمش أوي. So he went get a doctor and another man to him. He said, قال أما هذا عرفته الطبيب وهذا. He said, I know this doctor. What about this? قال هذا حفار القبور. جهز للقبر. قال this is the one who basically buried the people. Just in case, if you die, Annie, I got you the whole package. The doctor and the doctor's work, the guys to the funeral, the director of the funeral, kind of. You know? Anyway, he said also, one of the people, he was sick and very sick. And his sons and his family came visit him, except one. Because he said, al ulama mentioned this as an example. They said, if you know that the person doesn't like you, don't go visit him when he's sick. It's interesting. Why? So you don't bother the person. Yani if you know that there is a very sensitive thing, wait. Because he needs recovery. He doesn't need to be stressed. He doesn't need to be angry. Just leave him alone. Make dua for him. Send your salam to him. So they said an example of this is a man, actually, one of his children, he can't stand this son of his. He is so complicated, this son, and make things so complicated. So he said to him, please let him visit you. He said, okay. Anyway, he came. He came and he said, Ya Abati, first thing, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. He said, Qul, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa in shi'ta faqul, Ashhadu an la ilaha. Mish anna la, an la ilaha. And if you want, instead of anna la ilaha, said, an la ilaha. Both are okay. And the first one, see, boy, think it is better. Okay? And he said, I only was so busy from coming to you because Abu Ali invited me. And he said, Abu Ali puts for us an amazing dinner. Ahrasa wa absal, wa a'dasa wa stabdaj, wa sakbaja wa tahbaj, wa afraja wa dajdaj, wa dajjaj, yani dajjaj. وأعدس وأمضر ولوذج وأفلوذج. All these words, I don't even know what it means. It's like so like complicated words, sound so difficult. So the father said, please take this son away from me. I would rather to see the angel of death than to see him. He said, get him away from me. He's driving me crazy. Anyway, so the ulama said, this is a true story, by the way. So they said, sometimes if you know that this is going there is not going to help the person, don't go. Also, when you go there, be positive. Say about positive good things. Pray for him. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him. Make dua for him. And part of positivity, that you give him the good glad tidings of being patient. You know, being patient during that sickness is an amount of reward that's unbelievable. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ نَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَنفُسِ يعني الموت والمرض وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Those who Allah test them with sickness, give a glad tidings to the patient one. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ When calamity strike them, قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون We belong to Allah and we coming back to Him. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون
Will descend upon such people the salawat, the praises and the blessings of their Lord and the mercy of their Lord. And they are the guided one. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, any sickness that you go through, or any thing that strike you, even sadness, even worry, هم, حزن, أذى, غم, يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, even the thorn, the splinter, you get in your hand. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah will raise some of your sin, take some of your sin away. Because of such thing. It's a purification. And when you are sick, give the sick person the glad tidings that any good deeds that you used to do while you are healthy, it will continue. You will continue earn that reward even when you are sick, even when you're in bed. And it will purify you as the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in Hadith al-Imam Ahmad, reported by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. Abil Ash'ath al-San'ani, he said, I went to the Masjid of Damascus. And we went in the daytime, and it was hot. And I saw Shaddad ibn Aus, was-sanabijiyu ma'ah. And they told me, where are you going? I told, where are you both going? They said, yarhamukum Allah, where are you going? They said, we're going to visit a brother of us who's sick. I said, can I join you? They said, yeah, of course, come. Then, فقال, when they enter, they both told him, how are you doing this morning? He said, the sick person, أصبحت بنعمة, I am in such blessings. Shaddad said, أبشر بكفارات السيئات, you're sick, your sickness will do nothing but purify you from your sins and will take away all your sins. I heard the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah said, when I put my servant in the test of sickness and he praises me and he says, Alhamdulillah, he will not leave that sickness. He will not leave that bed. Get out of that bed. If in the hospital, home, and go back to normal, when he go back to out of his bed to normal life, he will go back as if he were a newborn. قال فلا يقوم من سريره إلا كما إلا كيوم ولدته أمه من الخطايا, from his sins. And Allah will say, أنا قيدت عبدي وابتليته, I put him down, I put him in his bed, I restrained him, I tested him. وآجروا له كما كنتم توجرون له, write down, my angels, all the good things that you used to do when he was healthy. Because of that sickness happened, I allowed it to happen to him. So that's why, also from positivity, the Prophet ﷺ said, when you visit someone who's sick, فَنَفِّسُوا لَهُ فِي الْأَجَلِ, يعني let him, don't tell him, oh, you're dying, خلاص, tomorrow. You tell him, you know what, inshallah, may Allah give you the life, you know, who knows what's the inshallah in front of you, you know, just be optimistic. And فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَا, even if you say that to him, it will not change the reality. Whenever he dies, he's going to die. But let him feel good. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that in the hadith in Sunan At-Tirmidhi. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam visited a man, a young man. And he said, how you find yourself? He said, Ya Rasulullah, Wallahi, I find myself have so much hope in Allah and so much fear from my sins at this point. And he was in his deathbed. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يجتمعان في قلب عبد في مثل هذا الموطن إلا أعطاه الله ما يرجو وأمنه مما يخاف. If these two exist in the heart of a believer, at that point, Allah will give that person what he hopes for and protect him from what he is afraid of. Umar, when he was stabbed, look at the positivity. Ibn Abbas came and he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you were the best companion of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. You lived with him and you took good care of him. And when the Prophet died, he died when he was so pleased with you. And you lived with Abu Bakr. And you were so good to Abu Bakr. And when Abu Bakr died, he was so pleased with you. And you are with us and you taking good care of us. And we are all pleased with you, Ya Umar. See, very positive. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was sick before she died, Ibn Abbas said, Ya Ummah al-Mu'mineen, good news for you. Ahead of you, Rasulullah, your husband, and your father, Abu Bakr, waiting for you. What a company you're going to be with soon. Don't be worried. Very positive things that they cite. One thing also for the sick person is to make dua for him. Some of the dua is, اذهب الباس, اشفي أنت الشافي. لا شفاء لا شافي إلا أنت لا إشف إذهب الباس رب الناس إشفي أنت الشافي لا شافي إلا أنت إشفي شفاء لا يغادر سقما. Ya Allah, take away the sickness. You are the Lord of the world, or the world of the people. You the one who heals. No one heals except you. Heals him in a way that it will not leave any sickness. That's how the Prophet ﷺ made the dua. And in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he visited Jabir, he told Jabir, do you know what to say when you're sick? He said, no. What should I say? And that's one of the things, that when you go to a sick person, teach him the ruqyah, teach him what to do, what to say. Then he said, Yabna Samit, Jibreel taught me how to read on myself when I'm sick. Then he said, what Jibreel did to you? He said, Jibreel taught me to do this. He said, Bismillahi arqik, min kulli shay'in yu'dhik, من حسد كل حاسد وعين بسم الله يشفيك. In the name of Allah, I read over you. And I protect you with the name of Allah, protect you from everything that's harmed you, from the envy or the evil eye or whatever sickness. The name of Allah is over you, and the name of Allah will heal you. So here there's many ahadith. I think you should look into it yourself. Caution. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us when you read Quran or make ruqyah to someone, you blow on the sick person. Blow, not spit. Okay? Like this, you blow on the person. But be careful. What if this person in the intensive care? What if this person is not healthy for you to blow on him? What if you're sick? So we have to take in consideration that circumstances and is it safe or not. Also, be very careful to say negative things in front of the person. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, in his sickness, when he was poisoned before he died, a man came to him and he said, what happened to him? They said he was fed poison. He said, that's a sickness nobody can survive. Or that's something nobody can survive. Umar said, please, when you visit someone, don't give him the glad tidings of death. And when you leave here, don't come back. He was firm. يقال أن رجل زار رجلا. Somebody visited someone. And he said, what's your sickness? He said, wallahi, my sickness in my knees. He said, إني أحفظ في الركبتين بيتا من الشعر. I memorized one line about knees, about this, the knees, and the sickness of the knees. He said, tell us, any story. Tell us what's the poetry that you know. He said, the problem, I forgot half of it. I only remember half. He said, okay, tell us the half that you remember. قال, وما لداء الركبتين دواء. He said, there is no cure for, you know, knees problem. That's the half of the line that you remember. Then he told him, I wish that you forgot the whole entire line, not only half. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught Uthman ibn Abi al-As how to do ruqyah. He said, put your hand in the area which hurt you and say, Bismillah, Bismillah, Bismillah. Say 7 times, A'udhu bi'izzat, A'udhu billahi wa qudrati, min sharri ma ajidu wa hadir. So he taught him what to do. Teach the sick person, if you know, the rules of tahara, the rules of salah, and so forth. Yeah, go ahead if that then time comes. Also, one of the etiquettes is not to stay too long when you visit a sick person. Make it short. Ya Aba Dar Zur Ghibban Tazdad Hubba. Very short and not very frequent. You will be loved more. Adab al Iyadati an takuna musallima wa taqumu fi athar al salam muwaddi'a. One of the etiquette of visiting, that you give salam, then reason, and soon after that you leave. You don't stay for a long time. قال سفيان الثوري حماقة العائد أشر على المرضى من أمراضي. Fool people make you more sick than your sickness. Yeah, whatever disease you have. If you got a fool person, a person of no adab and etiquette. They said they come in the wrong time and they stay for a long time. He's very nice. He said they come in the wrong time and they stay for a long time. So if you know that this is the time, yani you notice he's going to change bed. He's going to go to the bath. Khalas, get it. The nurse came, she said, I want to do check on him. Leave. You said it. You stay. العلماء said very beautiful word. They said, المريض يعاد والصديق الصحيح يزار. Somebody healthy, you go visit him. But someone who's sick, you go do iyada. Iyada, it means that you visit a sick person and that visit is short. It's not a visitation. It's not like we go to socialize together. No. Then ziyara غير العيادة. There is a funny poetry. إيش يقول سقت الثقيل من السفينة في الدجا فبكى الرفاق لفقده وترحم. Somebody who is يعني so, what do you call it, annoying. You know when somebody annoy you and it get in your nerve, He's like so, he does everything wrong. He does everything like the thing that everybody like get annoyed by. He said, in the night while on the ship, I took him to the side of the ship where there's opening, and he fall off the ship. Because we stick in the ship, ship's small, and this guy's so annoying. I don't want to spend the whole rest of the trip with him. So I basically took him in the night, and he fall off the ship. I left him behind. حَتَّى إِذَا طَلَعَ النَّهَارُ أَتَتْ بِهِ. So my friends were crying, how did you do that? You have no mercy, the guy in the water now, he's going to be maybe drowned by now. He said, in the morning, حَتَّى إِذَا طَلَعَ النَّهَارُ أَتَتْ بِهِ نَحْوَ السَّفِينَةِ مَوْجَةٌ تَتَقَدَّمُ. A wave carried him and threw him back into the ship. A wave came and threw him into the ship. قال خذوه كما أتاني سالما لم أبترعه لأنه لا يهضم. He said, take him back the way you give him to me. You know, it's so annoying to have him. يعني even the ocean couldn't take him. So take him back. Anyway, one of the things also it's so important when you visit the sick person to pay attention to it is the issue of awrah. Because when you go to a sick person, usually they don't wear underwear, they just wear that gown and it's open from the back, they move, and especially if it's a sister. Okay? So you knock, take permission, be cautious about this, lower your gaze. Okay? Especially if the nurse comes or the doctor to check him. You know, make sure that you respect that awrah, the awrah of the person, and not to be there while most likely he would be, he want to walk, for example, to the bathroom. You know, he can't close the back of his back. And so these things are part of, I know it's common sense, but as we always say, sometimes common sense are not common. Now the last one, which is following the janazah. Following the janazah and witnessing the funeral and praying on the janazah, al-ulama said it's fardu kifaya. The four madhahib, the vast majority of the fuqaha said, it is obligatory upon some of the Muslims, yani some of the Muslims must do that, but it is recommended for the rest. So if someone die, at least one person makes salatul janazah on him. At least one. But if nobody offered janazah on that person, nobody joined the janazah, that's haram. All of us sinner. One of us, at least, one of the Muslim or one of the family, someone at least go to attend the funeral. And I'm saying this because sometimes we get phone from the hospital saying somebody's dead, somebody, no family, and he's a Muslim. Come collect him. We must respond to that. And someone must go and collect the body and do the janazah and do the basically what is needed. It is fardu kifaya. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anyone witness the janazah and witness it until they offer the funeral prayer on it, he will have one qirat. And if he witness it and pray on janazah and follow it until it's buried, he will have two qirat. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what is qirat? He said, the qirat is the size of a great mountain of rewards. Can you imagine that? Just by following the janazah and witnessing it, praying on it. That's number one. Number two, you follow it until it is buried. The question, did you notice? He said, you follow it, pray on it, follow it until it's buried. In modern days, we don't understand that sequence. Because in modern days, all what we know, you pray on it, follow it until it's buried. But the hadith said, pay attention. You follow it, you pray on it, then you witness it until... Because the hadith speak in the old days, actually the Prophet was referring to following the janazah from where the person died, where the person's... bodies wash, then you follow it all the way to the area where the janazah is going to be established. Can you establish janazah in the masjid? There is a debate between the scholars over this. The Hanabila said it is permissible, okay? But some scholars are very strict about that. Some of the Shafi'iyya and some of the Malikiyya and some of the Hanabi even said, no, you can't pray janazah on the masjid. Some ulama said, you don't. Some ulama said, if you have to pray janazah in the masjid, you put the janazah outside and you pray inside. That's how strict they are. Some of the opinions among the jurists is very interesting. Inshallah, if we ever take a class on the rules of janazah, I'll tell you why they said that. But some of them are very strict. But the correct opinion, it is allowed. In Sahih Muslim, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed in two people, in two young men, inside the masjid. And as long as the janazah is basically modern, alhamdulillah, there's no leaking, nothing. It's not going to make any the place dirty or anything like that. Like in the old days, they were worried a lot about this. It is permissible. But anyway, so is witnessing the janazah, praying on it without following it from the hospital or from the home to the masjid? Do I have to get to follow it until the masjid to get the ajr? The strongest opinion, no, you don't. You get it if you pray janazah here, you follow it until it is buried. That's two qirat. So here, it's not enough. And I notice this is a mistake. Some people, not a mistake, they miss the ajr basically. What they do? They follow the janazah, but they don't pray on the janazah. Yani they come to the cemetery. The ajr of the two qiraat is to pray on it and to follow it and to witness the funeral. So the salah must be part of the combination. So that's why we say, even if you miss the salah, make sure that you pray janazah, you pray the funeral on the person, either before he is buried or after he's buried, you go to the grave and you pray. You pray on the person before, let's say they are preparing the grave, you are allowed to pray on him. Let's say he's in the car or outside, they put the cask on the floor, and you pray janazah on him. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's body was stopped, and people come group after group after group after group praying on him, until late Asr. Even though Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the daytime, in the morning. But it was until Asr, because the people coming group after group after group to pray on the Prophet. So they delayed until the people finished, then he was buried. Type, where do we get that you are allowed to pray on him after he is buried? Imam Malik, rahimahullah, doesn't agree with that. But you know what? In the Sunnah, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he went to the black woman who died, and she was buried without letting him know, he went to her grave and he prayed janazah on her after she was buried, the next day, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or even maybe more than one day. Why there is such a great reward in following the janazah? Number one, because it reminds you of the akhirah, make you prepare for your death, to know what happened to your brother will happen to you. You see the young and the old and the healthy and the sick die, the men and women. So you will be careful. Don't be heedless. Number two, following the janazah, it's a support to the family, that they feel that they are not alone, that there is community, there is people with them. Three, you help them carrying the body, burying, closing the grave. So all this help, it's a physical help. Why there is such more reward? Because that shows a sincere love for your brother. Why? Because he's dead. He will not benefit you anything anymore. You're only there because you truly love him. You truly appreciate his friendship. That's why you followed his janazah. That shows a level of sincerity. And sincerity is such thing that the reward of it is so great. Also, why is it so important and reward to go to the janazah? Because you make a lot of dua for the dead person, a dua for yourself. Guys, if you notice, most of the dua in the sunnah is actually about you. When you pray janazah, what do you say in the dua? Allahu Akbar, say, Allahumma ghafir li hayyina wa mitashaghina wa ghaibina. Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fahya al-Islam wa man tawaffaytahu minna fahya al-Iman. If you let me live in Islam, let me die. Oh Allah, don't make us go astray after him. Don't prevent us. It's all about, it's most of the dua actually for you. If you notice, in the beginning. Then after that, you pray for the dead. So there's a lot of dua for you. Why you pray for yourself when you follow janazah? In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, angels at that time saying ameen to anything you say. So that's an opportunity for you to pray for yourself, for your family, for the dead person. Is it allowed for a woman to follow janazah? Ummi Atiyah said, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't follow the janazah. But he was not very strict about it. قال نهانا عن اتباع الجنائز ولم يعزم علينا. He said, don't, but he was not strict with it. الحديث البخاري مسلم. Ibn Hajar said, and this is the Shafi'i position, and majority of the fuqaha said, it is dislike. Okay? But the Hanafi said it is haram. The Hanafi are very strict, said not allowed. The Hanabila also said is not allowed unless the woman go to witness the funeral of relatives or someone that she dear, and also that woman go dressing appropriate dress. And it is safe that she will not break down. Somebody asked me a brilliant question. He said, why you guys so like, why these fuqaha so against women? Why wouldn't allow the woman to go visit the grave and go witness the funeral? I said, they have nothing, for them, they never look at it, men or women. They never look at rules like this. They look at rules based on evidence. They don't base the rules on gender. They don't think this way. It's not how they think. That's in modern days because mainly, you know, the history of the struggle that happened and the abuse that is happening from men to women and you know, and all those things, we start thinking that way. But the fuqaha, when they talk, at least in the majority, they would think about the evidence. So they look at this hadith that the Nabi said, he said, don't, but he was not very strict about it. They debate, what that strict, yani, it is a major sin or minor sin? Some said, no, it's a sin or just not recommended. So that's how they look at it. Also, they look at cemetery. Cemetery is a very far place from the city, usually. So they worry that if women go there, they go far distance without anyone. How they come back is not safe, especially looking at the old days. Usually cemetery outside the skirt of the city. Another thing, they said if women go to the cemetery to witness that, to witness the funeral, okay? If they're gonna be with men doing the funeral, throwing the sand, how big of a space around the graveyard or around the grave? You all went to bury people. So tiny. So that means we're gonna be shoulder to shoulder, you know, pumping into each other, you know, and that's not an appropriate thing between men and women in Islam. Take in consideration, there is all kind of women will go, and all kind of men will be there. So they said, as another reason they said that. The Hanabila also said, women in general are very soft heart. They worry about, they will be moved by the scene in a way that can lead them to break down. Can't control themselves. So they said, if she can assured that she will be able to control herself, because if she start screaming and like doing things like, who will be affected by that? The dead person. And they don't want this to happen. So I do believe it's allowed for them to follow, okay? As long as these, because today, for example, I see my sister go to the janazah. They sit on the side. They don't need to be like at the grave itself. But I think it is the right of the wife, the right of the daughter, of the sister. I do believe that she witnessed the last moment of her loved ones, you know, live in this life and follow him. Next week, inshallah, we'll talk more about, there's so interesting rules about the janazah and a lot of practice in janazah. that I say is not according to the sunnah and what is the right of your Muslim. Wouldn't there be some follow the janazah? It means you have to literally follow it. Can you drive ahead of it? Or following it just a figure of speech? We talk about all this, the rights of the Muslim to, are you supposed to carry it? Are you supposed to participate in burying it and so forth? There's a lot of things, inshallah, we'll learn next week when we talk about this right of your Muslim brothers and sisters when they die, that you witness their funeral. And hopefully in the end we talk a little bit about how you pray janazah according to the four madahib. We're going to demonstrate this to you in a 5 minutes kind of point. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Inshallah, we pray right now.